This conference will now be recorded.
Right. I'd like to start with a little discussion around your public facing, what we call insight page. And this is actually the training website. So you guys have a production and you have a training Legistar database, and each one of those has its own insight page. And the insight page is going to be what you eventually integrate into your current Clark County website. It's good to kind of have a basic understanding of, what this website is, the information that staff as well as the public can access out here. And we're actually going to circle back and talk about this site towards the end of this session, because it'll be this site that you can actually sign into as an approver and do some reviewing and approving of these agenda items remotely, if you will. Basically anywhere you have a web browser. All right. With pen and paper in hand, what I'd like to do is put up on the screen here real quick two URLs. This is the URL to the training website, and that is what we're going to be using today and probably as you guys train and practice up until go live. So you can just type this directly into a browser, typically without the www and stuff, and it'll take you to that site I had up on the screen. The URL below it, which doesn't have the dash training in it, that will wind up being your go live production public facing website. So what we're doing today and through training is not going to be published or visible on that site. All right, back to the insight page. All right, so you guys, these are customizable. Your core team, your administrators have communicated with Granicus to make some customizations. So out here, we've got a couple of tabs that the public and staff can access. And one of the first takeaways regarding these public-facing websites is the only information out here is information that has been published with an agenda. So of course, you're gonna have staff creating items in Legistar. You guys will be reviewing and approving items in Legistar. So all of those items are not visible out here. So out here, what I'm about to talk about is only going to be related to published data. All right, calendar tab is where everybody arrives when they first get here. And depending on the browser you have and some of your browser settings, the site's gonna remember for the most part what you were last looking at, and it might even remember some of your previous settings. So when you first come out here, the default setting on this calendar tab down here under all meetings is gonna be this month. It's a good thing to recognize and acknowledge, because you might come out here and say, gosh, I'm only seeing September meetings. Well, once you or somebody from the public comes up and changes this to something different, then all of a sudden, of course, they're going to have a different list to take a look at. Now, the upper list, upcoming meetings, that's going to be the same for everybody. It's only going to show a certain amount of upcoming meetings and some of the details. Down below, though, under all meetings is where you can do some searching within the calendar. You know, if you're looking for a specific meeting, you can also filter based on a specific governing body or meeting body as well to dwindle down the list. And one of the important things to remember out here is initially when a meeting is scheduled, there are no hyperlinks. So we can see all these columns have no links that are active. Then as staff who are responsible for publishing agendas, publishing minutes, when they're doing their thing and they're publishing that data, then we get hyperlinks that become active out here. So if we kind of scroll down, drill down a little bit so you guys get a good idea of what you and the public can access out here. I'll go down here to this June Board of County Commissioners here. And again, this is test and training data, just so that we're clear. So the staff that are responsible for agendas, when they publish an agenda, it is going to activate the meeting details link, and it's also going to push out PDF document. Once the minutes process takes place, we'll get some PDFs out here for minutes as well. Meeting details is where you and the public can go to really drill down and see all things related to that specific meeting. Within meeting details, we still get access to PDF documents. We get to see the status of agendas and minutes here. And then down here, we can begin to take a look at the agenda as a whole. Once minutes have been published, we can come over here and take a look at actions and results. We can come in here and actually take a look at how people voted, some motion text information, and both within here and out here, you have the ability to kind of sort as well as export the data to an Excel or PDF or Word document. So again, this is accessible to you, the staff as well as the public. We're also going to see file IDs. So these are IDs that the system, Legistar system, automatically generates. And those are going to be active links that will allow you or the public to see the details of a specific agenda item. The title, agenda report, any supporting documentation that has been loaded and associated with it. And there's another tab here called history. And this will actually show the history of, well, basically the entire history of this file, this agenda item, where it's been. So the system Legistar allows you to, you know, pass agenda items back and forth between meeting bodies. It can also go back to the same meeting body, like in this example here. So every time it's on an agenda for any given body, all of that will show up here in the history. So a lot can be accessed from the calendar tab, specifically within meeting details. You've got your video and audio columns here as well. So once the recordings of the meetings are released, and there's some specific steps that need to take place in order to activate those hyperlinks, those will be available out here as well. So let me just show you an example. So these would be examples of accessing a video as well as just an audio file. So any and all of these hyperlinks, again, are only going to be activated based on specific steps that staff take. Out here, there's another tab, search agenda items. And this is where really you and the public will go to search through all of the agenda content. By default, we're kind of at a basic search screen where we can type in, you know, terms and keywords, things like that. We can narrow down the search based on time frame, the type of agenda item, and then we have some additional checkboxes that'll help with our filtering. The public facing insight page here, one of the benefits to this is that the system will actually search through the supporting documents that you and staff load into Legistar. So as long as those supporting documents are readable, like OCR compliant, searching out here on Insight will actually search through all of the documents as well. There's a link here, Advanced Search, which is sometimes a better way to search through the data. Allows you to pick specific fields and drop downs, and you can even do some good time frames, you know, between, etc. You know, over time, you're going to have thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of agenda items in the database that have been published out here, and this is probably a really good way to kind of filter down and search for what you're looking for. All right. Out here on the Insight page, the public can also sign up for alerts and RSS feeds. Alerts are more common. Seen or heard of the media using alerts. So the public can come out here, they can click on the sign-in link up here, and they can create an account for themselves. And when they do that, they can come in and sign up for alerts, you know, for any agenda that has any key terms or words on it. If it matches that alert criteria, it'll send an email to that citizen. They can also share information that's out here through a variety of different social media channels. So a lot can be done out here. Usually takes a little bit of time for the public and staff to get familiar with it. And definitely encourage, you know, everybody in the room over the upcoming weeks to maybe come out here and play around a little bit and get a little more familiar with the site. All right. In addition to that, as I mentioned a little while ago, as approvers, you can actually come out here and sign in with your Legistar credentials and review and approve items through the web here. And we'll take a look at that towards the end of the session. So that's kind of a review of the Insight page, the Insight site. Any questions? Nope. All right. So let's talk about reviewing and approving in Legistar. And let me close this report. So if you've got this handy, we're pretty much going to kind of, for the most part, follow the steps here. Again, feel free to follow along with this if you like, take some notes on it. All right, Legistar, home screen. This is going to be specific to you, the person who's logged in. There are a variety of different user groups that your core team and Legistar administrators have set up. Each of you are a part of a specific user group, and those user groups have specific permissions, things that you can and can't do or can and can't see within the Legistar database. So not everybody is set up exactly the same. There may be some differences in permissions depending on what user group you're in. So I'm logged in as kind of a standard approver type of user group. But again, some of this can vary depending on what group you're in. The home screen is specific to you no matter what user group you're in. Now, some of what we can see and access may depend on your user group. So as an example, we've got recent files, recent agendas, and recent minutes. So these areas will begin to display files as you begin to create them, look at them, touch them in any way. Same with agendas and minutes. Down here in my recent minutes, it's grayed out. So I'm a part of a user group that doesn't have access to the minutes module at all in Legistar. Whether the minutes are draft or published, either way, I can't access minutes at all. So it's grayed out. Same with the button here. I can't even click on it. It's grayed out as well. So that's an example of an area that I cannot access based on my user group. Down here at the bottom right, this is going to be your queue. So all you have to do is go into the home screen, look down here. If there's anything there, that is an item that is currently assigned to you to review and approve. And we'll go ahead and take a look at that. So again, Legistar home screen specific to you. Up here under recent files as an example, you're going to be looking at a lot of different files in the system. This box will fill up. The older ones will be at the bottom, newer ones at the top. And the older ones will fall off as new ones come on. So it'll kind of be an ever-changing list of files or agenda items that you've been looking at or working on. All right, you may also notice some of these are grayed out as well. So depending on the status and where the item is at in the process, or maybe even what meeting body or what department it belongs to, we may not have access to edit those, and that's what gray means. Gray means I can view it, but I can't make any edits to it. Okay, right side of the screen, files, agendas, minutes, and search. So those are the four modules in Legistar. Everybody in the room will pretty much be living in the files module, but there is agendas. That's where staff goes to work on and publish agendas, minutes, work on and publish minutes. And then we have a search module here. And the search module is specific to the text file within Legistar or the Microsoft Word template that is filled out by staff. So going into search here is somewhat limited as far as the results that are going to come back. It's basically going to be more like staff report content. Files module, if I were to come here to do a search, then I would have access to every field within the files database. So basically every field in the system. So this would be like doing an advanced search out on the public facing website. So this is probably the preferred place to come to do a search. I can do key terms and words up here in the easy text, or I can actually use fields to help narrow down the search. There are some fields within some of the tabs as well, like a name field in the attachments tab for each attachment. There's internal notes and department drop down here. So you can use any field or any combination of fields within the module to narrow down your searching. A great way to point out that when you first go into the files module, you are in fact in search mode, and I can tell what mode I'm in by looking up here at the top. All right, that's important because if you actually came in here to create a new agenda item, because some of you may also create agenda items as well as approve them. If you just started filling these in, you would not be creating anything. You would actually be specifying search criteria. All right. Back to the home screen. Let's talk about reviewing and approving in Legistar. So I'm going to come down here and I'm going to pick an item to review and approve. And I'll have to click on some text somewhere. So if I come down here and click, it's not opening up. But if I click on the text here or click on text here, it'll open up. Just a little nuance there. All right, so that's really step one, just kind of getting to the home screen, a little bit about this here, and then we move on to the report tab and actually getting into a file. So in this user guide I created, really just meant more for the training and just shortly after training, put some red rectangles and circles around things that you would primarily focus on. You might see some red lines, things to ignore, and you may even see a few arrows here and there as well. But this will be a great tool for you to use as you're kind of learning the process. And I know Mike is and others have helped create a more detailed approver guide for you as well that speaks probably a lot more to your specific processes, but this should be a helpful tool for you. All right. When I click on a link from the home tab, it's going to bring me into a specific file, agenda item, and it's going to bring me to the approval tracking tab by default. And the reason is because the approval tracking tab is where you go to actually do your approval. So we'll start here, then we'll kind of talk about some of the other tabs, and then we'll actually finish up back here to do an approval. In the approval tracking tab, there's a grid. It's going to show you all of the approvers, all of the FYIs, which we'll talk about. There are additional columns to the right. So there is a scroll bar here I can scroll over and I can see the details, timestamps, actions taken by an approver, escalation, and I'll talk about that in a few minutes. And then there's a notes column. It'll either say yes or no. And I'll show you where you put in your notes in Legistar. And if you do, then it'll wind up saying yes. So people can look at the grid and tell which approvers have put in some notes. All right, approvals, they're sequential. So it's going to start off with the first person at top, and then it's going to work its way down. So currently it's assigned to Granicus approver, who I'm logged in as. And it's bold, so I can tell who the current approver is. Review requested, that's just the current status. And then I've got a due date. So the due date is business days. And that's relevant because I've got a due days column here. So when it reaches me in the queue, I've got two business days and the system will go into escalation if I don't do anything after the 2 days pass, and I'll talk about escalation So at a quick glance, I can tell approver. I also see something here that says FYI. So the action type is important. Action type of approver means you're required to go into the system and do some type of approver action. Approve it, delegate it, maybe disapprove it, maybe not. We'll talk about that. But we also see an action type of FYI. So Granicus training, or if you happen to be an FYI action type in a sequence, you're not required to do anything in the system. You don't take action. When it reaches you in the list, it's just going to send you an informational email. You know, this agenda item was created by this staff person for this agenda date, you know, something like that. You actually wouldn't even be able to come in here and make any edits or do anything to this item. So speaking of doing something to an item, approving it, making edits to it, whatever it may be, you're only going to be able to do that while it's assigned to you. Once it moves beyond you, or if it hasn't reached you in the list yet, you won't be able to do anything out here other than just read the information. All right. Approval tracking tab has three, I guess I would call them sub tabs at the bottom right. So by default, we're on the first tab, which basically just shows me the approver information, the same thing I can see in the grid. The second tab is the important tab. That's where you have access to put in your notes as well as perform a specific action. And we'll talk about these actions and what they do. Before doing that, however, you're probably going to want to review some of the information. So up here at the top, we have information that may or may not, you know, be of interest to you, but these are going to be fields that staff fills in when they create the item. They're going to specify what type it is. That's something you can change. They can also specify a specific in control or meeting body, if you will, Board of County Commissioners or something like that. They also specify the agenda date, which you as approvers would be able to modify if necessary. The title field, though, please make special note that we don't want to modify or edit the text that's in the box. We want to leave that alone. If we need to make changes to the text in the box, we're actually going to do that through a different process. And that process will be going to the first tab, which is Agenda Report, and clicking the Edit button. And I talk about this in the user guide. So staff that create these agenda items, whether it's your coordinators or other staff, they click on the edit button and it opens up a Microsoft Word document. And in that Word document is a template that your core team and your Legistar administrators have built out for you to use. So when you guys go into the system, it's already going to be filled in. I've opened up the template. I can make changes directly to the template if I need to and save them into the Legistar system. Now notice though that if all I'm going to do is review the information, I don't really need to click edit. I can just review it through the window here. And this is a view-only window. I can't make edits to it or anything like that. One of the things to keep in mind about the view only window is that the formatting that we see in the window isn't necessarily the true formatting or what it's going to look like when the documents, reports, or agendas are actually published. So as an example, the petitioner box here looks a little funny. It's got some text outside the box. That's not actually how it looks when this is actually made available to the public or any reports are run, just so you know. All right. You can click edit, open up the Word document if you want to review it as well, but at this point you would be able to come in here and make changes to it. And we want to stick with the fields themselves. So each area where you can fill in information, there's a field there. We want you to stay within the fields, put in, paste in your information there. All right. So I'll make a couple changes. I put a period here. You come in, change grammar, whatever you need to do. Working with this document, in order to save it back into Legistar, basically what I need to do is just close out of the document and acknowledge the save. So I don't want to go to file and save as or do any of that stuff. A simple way to do it is either click the X on the Word document and acknowledge the save by clicking save here, or I can go up first and click the save icon and then close out here. When you open and close the Word document on the bottom right corner of your screen, which I have on my other monitor here, is a light blue rectangle. So the light blue rectangle is just a visual for you letting you know that Microsoft Word is opening or closing, et cetera, and you may have to be a little patient with that process. All right, saved back in. I actually didn't make any change to the recommendation. I probably should have done that to show you that. But if I would have made a change to the recommendation up here, it would be reflected in the box. And that's how we want to change the information or the data in the title box. So this is probably one of the primary areas you're going to go, the agenda report tab. Because you'll be able to see the recommendation, which is what's in the title box, but you'll also be able to see the rest of the agenda report or Word template as well, and all the data contained within. Wanted to open this back up again to show you that there are more than one Word templates in the system. So in Word, there's an add-ins tab, which is where your templates are located. This one is the BCC template, but you've got gaming and licensing, you know, Universal Medical, water. You may have others. Some of these may come or go. Your core team, your Legistar administrators manage these. And right now it's work in progress. So you're still going through deployment. You're not live yet. Core team and administrators are still creating things and working on things. So this isn't the end result as far as templates goes. All right. I'll put a period in here, a couple spaces. I'll go ahead and save out of here. Bottom right corner of my other monitor, I've got the light blue rectangle letting me know that it's communicating. Then I'm going to wind up with the information in the window again. The other thing I wanted to show you too through this process, if you make a change to the recommendation, basically what the title information is, you're going to see a pop-up message. Do you want to replace the title for this file? So the title meaning what's in the box here. It's really just a way, it's to catch your attention, just letting you know that you modified the title. Just making sure that you want the title information changed. And the reason is because the title information is the first thing it's on the published agenda. It's pulled into a number of different reports. So it's a very important field. So it's just wanting to make sure that you wanted to make the change. All right, so there's my period. I've got my changes there. Everything else here you can disregard. And I've indicated that on the user guide with just a big red line there. So edit is really it. So before I move on to attachments and some others, is there any questions on any of the upper fields or the agenda report tab, Microsoft Word template, et cetera?
If you have multiple approvals, multiple users, when you make a change anywhere in the approval pattern, does it go back and tell your prior people that went and said okay and they approved it that you made a change? Does it put it back through the approval process?
Yes. All of the above.
all of the above.
All right, so I think I heard the question and the answer there. One thing to keep in mind about making changes in here is it's not evident what was changed. So that is something that you guys will have to kind of talk about from a process perspective. You can, and I've had many customers do this, in the Word templates, it's just like any other Microsoft Word document. You could enable track changes in the Word document. Which would then make visible, even through the window here, any changes that were made. But as you could tell, I added a period here. Wasn't, you know, we don't get a pop-up and nothing really stands out to tell us what I changed. So something to keep in mind. Okay, other questions before we move on? All right.
I'm sorry, I changed. When it goes back to these people to approve, they've got to look for the words Waldo wouldn't have changed.
I don't know how to track changes to shell for unless
it's not going to go through the app, not going to restart it. It's going to give them notification that there was a change to it, correct?
Yeah, there will be a notification that says something was changed, but it doesn't indicate at all what was changed.
And it doesn't go back through their approval.
Does it start the workflow again?
No.
Just like disapproving, would it start the workflow again?
No.
Doug, are you getting that? The question is, will the workflow start over if the third person in the approval process makes changes?
No, it doesn't. I think Mike was answering the question correctly. No, it doesn't. The only way it starts over again is if an approver actually disapproves it altogether. But other than that, no, it doesn't start over.
But it would send a notification to them that something changed.
Yes.
Okay. And does it tell them who?
Does it tell them who made the change, which approver?
It does, but you know, you could easily tell by just coming in here and looking who it's currently assigned to. But yeah.
We also don't really want the guys to disapprove it because that'll add extra time to get it through the approval process again. Because then it has to, of course, you gotta disapprove it, it's gotta go back to the person that entered it. They've then gotta figure out, okay, why you disapproved it. Make those changes and restart the workflow again, and it's got to go through it again, which takes time, and people end up being re-notified again. So preferably you reach out. If you can't edit it or don't feel comfortable editing it, you reach out to the person who started the workflow, the sequence, or entered the item.
The originator.
And they can pull it back to themselves.
They'll have access.
All right, I think we can move on.
Okay. Good questions. All right. Attachments. Talking through this, I'm almost talking through just as I would your coordinators or your originators. You guys have the same abilities and permissions here as well. You can select an attachment. You can come over here and you can change the name of it. Click Update Attachment Details and it'll change the name in the grid. So the name of the attachments in the grid is important because that's what's going to be on the published agenda. That's what everybody's going to see. So you can, as an approver currently assigned to you, come in here, change the names of the attachments. You can use the arrows to change the order. If the order is important, you can also come in here, select and delete. So remove is delete. There's a little drop down next to the remove button. If you click on that, you could actually select remove all, which would remove all of the attachments in the grid. If I click remove, I am going to get a confirmation. Are you sure? Yes. Now that has permanently been deleted from Legistar. Not from your network, not from the originator's computer, but just from the Legistar database. Speaking of kind of deleting, managing attachments, there's a replace button down here as well. So if you or the originator even, if they're making updates to one of these documents outside of Legistar and they want to load it in to basically overwrite what's here, you can select whichever document is applicable, click replace. Once you do that, just navigate to wherever that updated document is. And it'll load in and overwrite what was here. Nice thing about that feature is I don't have to rename the document again in the grid. It keeps the name. To look at the documents, you can do it one of two ways. You can just double click on it in the grid, or you can select it in the grid, come down here and click launch. Either way, we'll open up the document that is in the Legistar database. And most, if not all, of the documents you're loading into Legistar are going to be in PDF format, I believe. So you can open these up directly from Legistar, make edits to them if you have Adobe Acrobat Standard or Pro, and you can save the updated document directly back into the database. So if I go to close this PDF document, say yes, I want to save my changes. Shortly after that, I get a pop-up that says, do you want to save it directly back into Legistar? So if I click yes, then the changes I made will be saved directly back into Legistar, basically overriding the original one that was here.
Okay, but that only changes the attachment, correct? It doesn't change the actual file.
Yeah, it's only updating the attachment, correct?
Okay, so the best way to do that is to go through the editing process on the file and reload it. And then the coordinators will fix that report on the end.
Okay, so what I heard you say is that approvers probably won't be updating attachments or documents, the originator or coordinators would be?
I would say so, wouldn't you, Michael? Yeah.
Okay. All right. And that leads into a quick segue into, you know, typically after you guys go through a training and things like that, even the originators, the drafters, the coordinators, you may have some discussions to talk about process and who does what and under what circumstances you might do this and that. So, of course, you can have, you know, better conversations once you kind of go through training and better understand the system. All right. So from that perspective, then I think you would probably have some kind of communication to the originator through email or something stating, hey, you know, please update this document, and then they'll go in and do it. So they can do it as well. The originator can access the file they created while it's going through approvals, make updates to it. Once the final approval is done, just to point this out since we're talking about it now, once it reaches the last person in the sequence and they do their thing, which I believe is going to be the coordinators in a lot of situations, once the final approval is finished, then they will be locked out of accessing the file as well. So up to the final approval, they will be able to go in and make edits. Once the final approval is done, they will be locked out of making any edits. All right. Well, with that said, Monica and team, then approvers probably won't be adding documents then, correct? I can still show them how to do it, but they wouldn't be adding brand new documents either, right?
I would doubt that.
Okay.
Do you guys have right now?
No, we haven't.
Yes.
The approvers?
Well, yeah, I mean, we go through an entire management review process and our documents change all the way until right before it's published. So yes, we could be doing those switches.
Okay, so go ahead and show them.
No problem. Okay. All right. Well, these are the same steps that the originator would do, the coordinators would do as well. Two ways you can get documents into the system. I can come down here and I can click on the attach button. And when I do that, it opens up a window I'm sure you're all familiar with. So you can navigate to wherever your documents are. You can even select multiple documents using shift and control. And then when I click open, it's going to go ahead and load those into the Legistar database. Just like that. And now it's just the same process as we discussed before. I probably don't want it when the agenda is published, I don't want it to say sample cityord.pdf. So it's going to name it initially how the document was named, but you can go ahead and change it. And come down and click update attachment details. And then oops, if I accidentally loaded one too many, of course I can click remove to remove that. All right. The other way is you can open up this Windows Explorer window outside of Legistar. So in other words, you don't click attach here, you just open it up, you know, through your computer. And then at this point, you know, you could use shift and control, use to bring in multiples, and then you just drag it and drop it in the grid. So two different ways you can get documents into the system.
I just want to note that all attachments should be in PDF form.
And there is a reason for that. It's to speed up the process on the agenda admin side. So the BTC who compiles the agenda, puts it all together, can help with the process time and also makes it harder in general for people to edit a document that is in the attachment list, because I would say not everyone has Adobe for that. To edit Adobe files, so.
How about when we're needing an editor of your attachment, if we have to do that in Word documents or PDF?
Editor, MERS, and mirrors said in the process that it's going to be worked on. There isn't actually a system with Granicus for handling those organized. We're having to work on that separately.
Museum?
Huh?
I think we're doing it museum, right?
I believe so.
I just need to create a directory and be able to locate, tell people where to go.
Yeah, we should probably look at that.
That needs to be done by with the clerks.
Yeah. Also, if you're also someone that's interested in items, like I'm trying to recall if this was covered in the first section we had this morning, the staff report always ends up first because that's our agenda item document, kind of like we have it inside now, it's always at the top of the list. Same thing here, we want it at the top of the list, so if we open the packet, it comes out as the first document for that item. So. Darlene, Monica, do you follow up? We went over that.
I think I did.
Yeah, so, and staff reports what we're going with this time, unless something changes. It's easy because it comes out as staff report. We want to rename it. So, if something changes, we can rename it. But that's just one more step for you guys to do. So right now we're taking the staff report. Unless someone says otherwise. Probably at this point it probably be someone management 6.4. Again, we don't really want to disapprove items. Preferably we reach out to someone that the person that entered the item to have them change it, or if you guys are comfortable changing it yourself, you can do that. if you have it, of course, in your control of the sequence. That's just the key from having to start over the sequence from the beginning, because the approval tracking workflow sequences aren't as robust as our CIRA ones. They won't, if you disapprove it, it won't automatically go back. It will email and notify them, but it doesn't just go back. It has to start it over, and it's a manual process to do that. So.
I think we can move forward.
Okay, very good. So Mike actually doing a little bit of the training for me. So once we get to doing the approval tracking, your options, disapprove is one of those options, and I think Mike covered that really well. But so keep that in the back of your mind as we talk about that here in a few minutes. One other thing I wanted to mention about attachments. We came out with a new feature in Legistar back in February, actually, where if anyone comes in and makes a change to these attachments, whether they delete one, add a new one, or make changes within one, as I mentioned before, the originator, as well as all approvers who've been involved up to that point, do get a general notification letting them know that attachments were modified. Just another way to try to keep people in the loop. All right. Any other questions about attachments before we move on to another tab?
Nope, thank you.
Oh. All right. All right, details tab. This one will be a short conversation. You're going to see the originator's department here. You're going to see their email address. You're going to have some other fields here that other staff will fill in at some point, if applicable. Agenda number would be something the system would fill in if applicable during the agenda publishing process. Probably the only thing here that might be of interest would maybe be the department to you, the drafter originator's email, and then this internal notes field. So staff can put in, the originators can put in notes here. You could as well, actually, while it's assigned to you. You have a different area to put in your notes. So this area here would really just be for the originator, the coordinator, et cetera, to put in notes for you or for the agenda staff or somebody else as well. So you may not even have a reason to go to the details tab. Last edit, just so you know, is kind of an audit log. It'll show you who's touched this, who's made any kind of edit to it whatsoever, et cetera. So it's kind of an audit log. If you come into this screen, though, you will need to go to the top right and click close to get out of it. If I try clicking over here, it won't let me do anything, won't let me get out. So there are a few screens in Legistar, and this would be one where I need to go to the top right and click on the close button. All right. Approval, let me ask a quick question here. So Darlene, Monica, Mike, would approvers be running the staff report, or would it really be the coordinators towards the end of the process?
Coordinators at the end of the process.
Okay. I'll go ahead and skip that. All right. So we kind of circle back to the approval tracking tab, making sure I'm on the approver action tab. And if you're following along in the user guide I created for you, we've kind of jumped down a little bit. We're kind of back here to this step two. So in step two, I've got an example of approving, disapproving, and delegating. And I've put an example of the type of notes that you might type in as well. So currently, those are three things that you can do in the system. Something important to remember when it comes to the note field, and this is a good thing to jot down. If you're going to type in any notes, and if you disapprove, the system will require you to type something in there anyway. But if you're going to type in a note, whether you're approving, disapproving, or delegating, you need to type in your note before you come down and select your action. because once you select your action and your action is completed, you will not be able to come back in here and make any edits, and that includes putting in any notes. Okay. All right, so if you're following along in the guide here, I think, you know, approve is relatively straightforward. So notes are optional if you're approving. You can type in notes if you want to when you approve. Please keep in mind,
if you did put in notes and approve it, there's no notification that any notes were added. So your coordinators are not going to get a notification that those notes are there if you approve it.
Thank you. I was actually just going to say that. So, yes, important thing to keep in mind, approve does not send an email notification to anyone, and no one will see your notes. They'll have to come here, click on the tab, click on your name in the list to see the note.
So, advisably, if you need some changes made, you can put it in the notes field, but then you have to go to email and notify the core module changes. Or you do that yourself.
All right.
Way away from the disapproval process is because it starts the whole workflow over again. We just don't have the time enough, or timing to be able to do that.
Exactly.
Really important. Really important to get to someone. Please reach out to them. Especially if it's towards like something that Cindy needs to see.
Very last minute.
Yeah.
Pick up the phone. Don't even try an email. Just pick up the phone.
It's.
And that's fine. But in this workflow process, if we want to get through it, you're going to have to kick it back via a phone call, not disapproval. Or we will not get through the workflow. This is a sequential workflow. It's not a multiple approvers at the same time. So if you kick it back, every time it gets kicked back, it goes back and starts over again.
Which does happen. The only problem is it's not automatic. It's manual with this. So if you disapprove it and you're, let's say, second from last, yeah, it will go through everyone again, but the coordinator will have to then start again, and we have to hope it still gets through everyone. There's also some complications with restarting it right now with the permissions.
It's also going to allow everybody 2 days to do it before it escalates to the next. So. Odds are, if you're disapproving and it's going through a workflow process a second and third time, it will not get.
What if it is a last agenda item and you're entering it in like that morning? That was it.
So I did bring this up in the previous one. So I do know that our deadline is, I believe, now 10 o'clock. With our shorter schedule. I believe what we're going to try to do with this, it might change between now and then, so bear with me. So right now we're at 10 o'clock for our cutoff for adding items to the agenda. So if you can get something in, you can still edit it and get it through workflow. In Sire, even in the legislature, it'll work the same way. If you get something in, you can still work on it until it's closed. The item itself is closed. So we're wanting to get the items through and closed as soon as possible. So Cindy and I were thinking maybe we can use between 10 and noon for you guys to get through the workflow. And if you can't, it's on the agenda at least. And you can make sure you at least have everything on there. If for some reason you don't get it through the workflow, just as it is now in Sire, it's not the end of the world as long as it's on the agenda. And it's as, hopefully as correct as it can be on the agenda so that when they don't have to make corrections during the meeting.
So it will still at least to make it through
yes.
all the way without the approval, because I
yeah. it just
the input in, and we're at that 10 o'clock or what it used to be noon
yeah.
deadline. Sometimes, you know, the approvers don't have that capability to put in there prior to the.
Yeah, and I do understand that. The only thing is, if it doesn't get through the workflow, then just like the manual steps that you're seeing here today, there are manual steps for Cindy or Marcy, the agenda admin, to go through and make sure that no one can continue the workflow so that they can't make any adjustments, so that everything's closed and locked up, so that once it's posted, no one says, oh, I can still fix this item. It makes an adjustment after static documents have been posted and printed. So we do want everything to get through the workflow so that the items are locked. So on the back end, there's a little bit less work, because there is more work for the approvers and the coordinators to create the items to do their steps. And there's probably just as many more steps on the admin side. So we're trying to streamline it. And hopefully make it all simple as possible. And workflows aren't 100% at the moment. We'll be doing another account audit to get
retired people out.
Retired people out, changes in the staff, the way you guys are working with the schedule changes and everything working. Most departments would only have one sequence set up for. There's at least, you're probably gonna end up with two, at least for now. And I was expecting that from the beginning. We might end up with some departments with more than one, because whoever enters the item might not be the one to finish it. So maybe there needs to be a different person at the end to finish it, because someone plans to be out, but they're entering the item or something.
You just need to delegate.
Yeah. So there's delegation, there's. Yeah. As long as it gets on the agenda, you've got everything there. It's just like it is now, it's going to go through.
It's just a manual process. It's not an automatic roll-up, and Cindy can grab it and create the agenda. She physically has to go into each item and close the workflows. So it's very time-consuming. And that's why we're really pushing to try to get through the workflow process. Okay, I think we can move forward.
All right. Good discussions. Excellent. Okay. I think we're clear on disapprove, so I'm not going to go there. Let's talk about delegate. So the system does allow you to delegate to somebody else. And the two most common reasons for delegating, one would be you want somebody else to approve it. So you would delegate it to them. And in the notes, again, you want to put in your note before you go down and select a person to delegate it to. You know, you could put in there, Steve, please review and approve. Pretty straightforward. What it'll do is it'll wind up getting reassigned to Steve. You will no longer be able to go in and make edits or do any type of action. It'll be Steve's turn. The other common thing for delegating is passing it back and forth between department heads, et cetera, to get their review and just get their feedback. So we can say, Steve, you know, please review. A little bit of a delay here on my computer, Steve. And I have this example in the user guide. Please review and delegate back. So that way Steve will be plugged in under me. Steve will be able to put in his own notes. They will be saved in the system. And when Steve is done, he can go ahead and just delegate it right back to me. And then I would be plugged in right after Steve in the list. And then I would have the ability to come in and click the approve button. So just remember, if you delegate for whatever reason, you will no longer be able to do anything to this item, make edits or approve it, etc.
Can you drop that delegate list for us again?
Yeah, that's actually the next comment I was going to make. So the delegate list isn't necessarily going to be every Legistar user, although this looks pretty comprehensive. There is a checkbox in each person's people record in administration where your Legistar administrators can identify you as an approver or a potential approver or a backup or an alternate approver, however you want to coin it. So this list isn't necessarily every Legistar user. It's only users that have been identified as an approver, potential approver, et cetera.
The good news is it's at least in alphabetical order.
Yes, by first name, yeah.
Do you have to delegate each file, or can you put on like a blanket delegation if you're out on the...
If you're out of the office, there is...
That's another conversation here in a few.
There is an out-of-office feature. There's also an alternate that with the account audit that we'll do, we'll make sure everyone has alternate so that if someone... He'll go over here in a bit, escalates it. He'll go alternative. Do we know when we're having to do any person? Are we having Marianne come in, I believe?
No, I think she's
sending it as a thing.
Okay,
yeah, so he is going to go over there.
She's the biggest user of our delegate option, or at least they're the biggest user of our delegate option. Sire that we have set up. I don't know of anyone in any of the other departments that delegate anything in Sire. So if you use it, just make sure you click the right person, please. Because the list is long.
So you don't have to vote.
No, the person that gets it that should it would then either have to send it back to whoever delegated it, or if they knew who should get it, send it to that person. Yeah.
And the drop down of delegates is not department specific, it's approver. All approvers, right?
Correct. There's no way to filter it, unfortunately.
But you could go back and show.
Correct. No way to filter it. Correct. You can start typing in somebody's name. That might be helpful. But,
right. So the only filter you have is to go to the search. And start typing the person's name, and that should take you to them on the list if you didn't want to scroll.
All right. So if you're delegating, again, put the note in first, and then you can click here to start typing in someone's name, and it'll filter through. If you start typing in a name, though, you're going to need to hit enter to trigger the pop-up confirmation. Are you sure you want to delegate? Just to show you what it looks like, I'm going to say yes. And I'm delegating it to myself, just so that we can see it in here. But now it documents that this person delegated it. It also timestamps it. And there's a yes there because I did put in a note. So whoever this person is you delegated it to, they would wind up getting an email stating that they now are an approver and they need to go in and review this agenda item. So if it's just one of the situation where I want Steve to just take a look at it, provide some feedback and delegate it back, then this person would do the same process. All right, so for the sake of time, I'm going to go ahead and wrap up the Legistar part. One of the things is that you have to select your name in the grid, So this will probably happen a couple of times. Somebody may come in here, look at stuff, and you know, it may be on somebody else, and they'll come to this tab and say, I can't approve or I can't delegate, it's grayed out. Well, you need to make sure you select your name in order for those to become active. All right, extend due date is something your core team had decided to restrict. So approvers are not able to extend their due date. And that'll allow us to talk about due date and escalate here. So your due days are business days. And there is a due date in the due date column so that you know, basically at the end of 7/29, it's going to reach that deadline. So when the deadline arrives, the system goes into escalation. So what it does is it goes and it looks in your specific people record in administration and looks to see if you have a designated alternate approver assigned. You can only have one alternate approver assigned. And if you do, then the system will automatically reassign it to that person, to your alternate. If you don't have an alternate assigned in your people record, then the escalation process doesn't do anything because it's got nobody to reassign it to. So at that point, it just stays assigned to you and you get a daily reminder letting you know that you have an item to review and approve. So that is the due date expiring, the escalation process. One other quick note on escalation. Your originator, the person who created the item, coordinator, whoever it may be, they can actually come in and click on an escalate button. It's grayed out for us, but it's clickable for them. They can click on that at any time. And if they do, it does the same thing. It behaves the same way as if the due date passes. If they come in and click escalate, even if it's before this date, the system looks in administration, looks in your people record, sees if you have an alternate approver assigned, and if you do, then it'll reassign it to that person right then and there. So if something happens to you and you happen to be out last minute, emergency or something like that, and the coordinator or originator is aware of it, don't have to wait till the 29th. They can come in and just click escalate, and as long as you have an alternate assigned, it'll go ahead and reassign it to them. All right, so I still have to show you the website, which is a lot quicker conversation, but let me show you the out of office before I do that. I want to make sure I get that in. So before I do the out of office, that's pretty much reviewing how to go about reviewing and approving in Legistar. So any questions about the Legistar side of things before I move on?
No.
Okay. And remember, don't forget about this handy user guide here. So as far as out of office goes, I'll make this a quick conversation here. On the home screen, if you go to tools, you'll see an option that says local settings. Now, if you're a person that also creates agenda items, then through the drafter training, through the coordinator training, you will be coming in here to set some settings anyway. But if it's strictly just, if you're just an approver and things like that, going into local settings, there's two things that'll be of interest to you. The first is the password tab. So you have a default Legistar password. This is your opportunity to come in here and change the default password. Just make sure it's at least 5 characters. Doesn't have to be a mix of upper lowercase or special characters or anything like that. And these do not expire. So this is your Legistar password. It's important to get into Legistar. It's also important because you need to use this username and password to access the website if you're going to review and approve items through the website, which we're going to look at next here. I have to do it pretty quick. The other is the out of office tab. So we got some good description information over here. This is not as sophisticated as Outlook, so you can't come in here and put in a date range or anything like that. You simply come in, turn it on by clicking yes, click save, turn it off by clicking no, click save. So when you turn it on, If you leave it to auto approve, as soon as something is assigned to you, it just auto approves it on your behalf and moves it on.
Could you send it to someone to review? I think that must have been out of the room. But yeah, preferably you set it to someone.
All right. Something to keep in mind about out of office is turning this on does nothing to something that's already assigned to you. So all the things that are already sitting in your queue and assigned to you, this has no impact. This is only going to affect agenda items that are coming to you after you turn this on.
So if it's already sitting in there for you to approve, you have to actually delegate it out.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Just remember to come back in and set it back to no when you get back in. All right, we wanted to finish up at 10 till, so there's time for Darlene to sanitize the computer. So this will have to be kind of a quick conversation. It is relatively quick anyway, but the good news is I've got it all in this guide here. So basically, you're just going to navigate to the website or in the email notifications that are sent to you when you have something assigned to you, there are links in the email that'll take you to this website. And here you're going to put in your Granicus Legistar user ID and password. Not your network or anything else. This is the Legistar user ID and password. And once you get signed in, it's going to take you to the approval tracking tab where you can see your queue. And from right here, if it's just a formality, you know all about it. It's just a simple come in and get it off your plate. You can click approve from right here and be done with it. The good news is the notes work the same way as in Legistar. You want to type in your note before you click your action. And the system will make you put something in if you select disapprove, but again, we already know rarely, if ever, you're going to use that option. Now from here, if you want to see more details, we click on the file ID link. All right, so already we can tell, and I'll just make this statement right off, there are less things that we can modify out here. So when we're in Legistar, we can modify all kinds of stuff. The agenda date, the file type, the in control, all kinds of different things we can modify. We don't have access to a lot of these fields through the website. We have access to see the data, but not modify the content. So here's the title that's filled in through that Word document, you know, by staff clicking the edit button. Now to access the entire Word document from the website, we have to click on this download Word document link. That will open up a Microsoft Word document so you can see the entire content. It is not integrated with Legistar. So you cannot make changes to that document with it open and have it automatically save and update into Legistar. So there's a statement right here. Changes made to the Word document, which would be clicking on this, will not automatically save back into Legistar. So if you need to make updates, which it sounds like you typically won't be, it'll be the drafter, the originator, the coordinator. So that makes your steps a little bit easier. But just so you know, see no add-in tab or anything. So updates to that need to be done in Legistar. All right, we're going to skip the select button because that would, in theory, try to upload a Word document to replace the text in Legistar, which it does not do. Okay, let's see, got a couple minutes left. Attachments. from the website, if you click these X's, you will delete the attachment out of Legistar. So that function does work. So that would be the same as you being in here, selecting it, and clicking remove. So that would be the X. Edit. This does not allow you to edit the document. All it does is allow you to edit the title of the document, the name of the document. If you do, you can click update as save. View. View allows you to open up the document. Most of them will be in PDF format. So depending on what device you're on, could be a smartphone, could be a, you know, a tablet, anything that has a web browser, you can access this website. But just make sure you have on that device the ability to open up PDF documents. All right, you can in fact upload new attachments by add new attachment and clicking the select button and then navigating to where the document is. So again, this is only going to navigate to where you are on your device. And again, it doesn't sound like you'll be doing that. Well, actually, I guess there were circumstances where you would. So that would be the same as if you were in here clicking the attach button. So that feature does work out here as well. So if I click select, selected a document, then it would add it to the actual file. Here's my overall notes field. Operates just the same way as my approver note field here. Same concept. So that's pretty straightforward. Put in your note before you select your action. Click on the action dropdown. You've got your actions. Even though it's not grayed out, extend due date has been disabled in Legistar. And delegating is an extra step. So here I would select delegate. Once I do that, it would activate the delegate dropdown, and then you could just same function as doing it in Legistar. Couple of other things real quick. View sequence is a neat feature. So from the website, you can at least see the sequence, where it's been, where it's going. So you can get some good information here. And send email is pretty cool. So this email would be sent through the Legistar system, but when you click send email, it'll pull up the originator, coordinator, drafter's email. You could CC some people and you could send a communication. So you could use this in order to send an email to the originator or coordinator saying, hey, make these changes. Click send. All right. We need a few minutes for sanitation, but that's going through approvals on the website. More straightforward, less fields we can modify, but at the end of the day, you do have the ability to, you know, review, delegate, approve through the web. One other thing to point out, notice where I'm at, I lost the sub tabs, so I don't even see the approval tracking tab anymore. So if you clicked here, you'd lose the sub tabs again as well. So to get those back, to get back to your approval tracking list, you would come up here to the top right where it says My Account. And if you click on that, it'll go ahead and re-bring this back. For internal staff and approvers, go ahead and disregard these other sub tabs. All right, team, don't forget about the guide here. Kind of walks you through all that. And at the end of the guide, there is some information about searching as well. But that's your approver training. Any questions before we end the session?
We're shooting for September. We're going to try to do a few parallels in August, where we'll be doing it in both systems just to see if it works correctly. So we'll be sending out email notifications of where we are in the process and what we need you to help us with as far as testing goes.
Are you going to send us logins too? Or?
You should have your account now that you can change your
You just log in with password.
Yeah, yeah, you log in with password and then. You can change it in your local settings if you want to change your password.
If you forget it, you know, or put it in a ticket to help them.
And if you have any questions, you can email me, and I'll get it to Michael if it needs to go to Michael.
And if you've got a copy of the approval draft document that I put together, any notes or suggestions for additions or modifications, let us know. Want to make that real good for everyone. Even though it's 9 pages long.
So any other questions? All right, thank you all for joining us. You can just exit the.
This conference will now be recorded.
All right, so everybody should have a copy of the Legistar Approving Files Agenda Items User Guide. We're going to kind of reference this a little bit as we go through the process, but everything I'm going to talk about is in the document. And first, we'll talk about reviewing and approving in the Legistar program. And then about halfway through the document here, the second half of the training, we'll talk about reviewing and approving it from your public-facing website, which I'll talk about here in a few minutes as well. All right. All right, first what I want to do is just give you a review of the public-facing website. And you actually have two of them. You have one related to your training database, which is what we're in today. All the training and testing and things primarily taking place in the training database. And then you have a production database, which you'll use for go live. And at this point, since neither is integrated into your county site, you can access them through direct URLs. So typically you don't have to put in the HTTP or WWs or anything, but clark-training.legistar.com, that'll be the URL to the training website, and then clark.legistar.com will be the production site. And that's important because as approvers, you can go to the website to review and approve items. And one way to get there is opening up a browser and just typing in the direct URL. And we'll talk about another way in a little bit. A little bit of a background and review on the website. You've got a couple of tabs available for you and the public up here. And on the calendar tab is where you arrive by default. And up here, you've got your upcoming meetings. So these are meetings that have been scheduled, meetings upcoming. And you'll kind of notice, if I scroll down a little bit, we've got a section that says all meetings. And all meetings is primarily where you and the public will go to search for meetings. And by default, when you arrive for the first time to this site, you'll arrive to an option that says this month. So this dropdown is a way to filter. Once you or the public begins to change some of these dropdowns and things like that, your web browser will typically kind of remember the last setting you had. So once you continue to go here, of course, you'll arrive potentially with a different filter in place. Filtering meetings on the calendar tab, you can also filter by governing body. All your different meeting bodies at the county there that use Legistar to publish agendas, et cetera. If I scroll down a little bit, got a variety of different columns here. Initially, when staff schedules a meeting, we only see the basics, the name of the meeting body, you know, the date, the time, et cetera. Everything else is grayed out. So as staff begins to publish agendas and publish minutes and makes the recording of the meeting available, then these hyperlinks will begin to become active. So if I scroll down quite a bit, just to kind of show you, you know, video and the ability to download audio of the meetings. Again, none of these links are available until staff perform or do specific steps in the system. PDF documents are pushed out here, you know, a PDF of the agenda, PDF of the minutes, PDF of the final action document. But the meat of everything is actually within the meeting details link here. And actually, which one did I use? I guess we had this one. So I'll pick this Board of County Commissioners. We've got some agendas and minutes published. So staff or the public can drill down to the meeting details and see everything related to the meeting. They have also, you also have access to the PDFs, but you can see the status of the agendas and minutes. And then further down is really where all the content is. So in a couple different screens, you're going to have some dropdowns. Grouping is a way to sort what I'm looking at. Exporting is a way for you or the public to export the data. Excel, PDF, Word format. And here we're looking at the agenda in its entirety, the sections, as well as all of the agenda items. Now, once minutes are done in Legistar by staff who do minutes, the minutes related data will be released under meeting details as well. So not only will the public be able to see information related to the agenda item, but also be able to see the actions that were taken at a meeting, the results, you know, pass, fail, etc. And then also can drill down into the action details, which shows us how everybody voted and shows us a little bit about some motion text. So it can really drill down and get the deep details about any agenda item. And even at this level, I've got the group for sorting and exporting the data that I'm looking at. Within here, we've got our file ID links. So Legistar automatically creates file IDs for all the agenda items that are created. And those are hyperlinks out here on the website. So whether it's at this main agenda view or even drilling down to this level, you can click on the link, file ID link, and bring us to the details of that specific agenda item.
And here we... The agenda item is based off of the year. So for this file, it's 19. That was done in 2019. So this year, everything will be 20, and it'll automatically change every year.
All right. So we've got the title information, and then you also have access, the public has access to any supporting documentation that your coordinators or other staff load when they're creating these agenda items. There's two tabs within an agenda item. There's a history tab, and this actually shows you the history of this specific agenda item, all the different meeting bodies that it's gone to, as well as, again, and kind of access to all those action details, how everybody voted, things like that. So in Legistar, you can, you know, you can refer and pass agenda items back and forth between meeting bodies, between governing bodies, and all that history would be documented here. Again, importing and exporting. The other tab is text. This actually isn't a great example, but this will show you the text of the item. And let me actually go back. Let me see if this first one has a better. So there's a Microsoft Word template, here we go, that staff, your coordinators fill out when creating an item. And by clicking on the text tab out here on the website, it gives you view access to that template. And we'll take a look at that in the Legistar system as well. A few other things about the system out here. The public, even staff, if you create, if staff creates an account, the public can create an account by clicking sign in. All of you already have an account using your Legistar credentials. And we'll come back out here later and log in. I'll show you what it looks like when you log in so you can approve items. But with an account, you can sign up for alerts and RSS feeds out here. You and the public can also share the content out here through a variety of different social media venues. And signing up for alerts is somewhat common. People from the media sometimes use it, so I can sign up for an alert. And if any agenda or any agenda item gets published that has keywords or terms in it, the alert will send me an email letting me know. The agenda items tab, search agenda items, this is where everybody will go to search, basically search the database. Important to keep in mind, though, searching out here on the website is only searching through published data. So in Legistar, you have data that isn't published yet. Agenda items that coordinators and staff are creating that are still in draft status or potentially going through the approval workflow, things like that. All of that data is not accessible out here. So this is only published data. And here on this tab, I've got a search box. And I can use the time frame, year drop down, the type drop down, and these check boxes to kind of further filter what I'm looking for in the system. Nice feature about the website, there's an attachments checkbox here. If I check this, then whenever I type in the search field, it'll actually search through the documents that staff attach in Legistar. So as long as the documents are readable, you know, OCR compliant, searching out here on the website does search through documents. Currently in Legistar, the Legistar system doesn't allow for searching through documents at this time. So that would be a feature that's only out here. Over time, thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of agenda items in your Legistar database. So you may want to do an advanced search. So if I click advanced search, brings me up basically a form, if you will. But these are all the different fields that are in the files module. So you can really drill down and select different, specify different searching criteria here, being a lot more specific, which is probably going to be very helpful down the road. Okay, so that's kind of a quick overview of the public facing insight page. And again, we're in the training one. So before we kind of move into Legistar, does anybody have any questions so far?
How far back is the search going to go if we?
The search is going to basically return whatever information is in the Legistar database that has basically been published. Or I believe there can be some data imports done. If a data import is done, that information would potentially be available here as well. But it's only going to be what's in Legistar and what has been basically published or identified as public data.
So we are trying to do 10 years of data migration.
Well, from 2010 forward.
Yes, that is. Yeah, from 2010. So that's not being imported from what we can search now. I think it goes back to 2019.
It does go pretty far back. That information is going to be available as long as we realistically keep it available. A lot of it is also archived in. File 360 or its replacement, which I believe the replacement was made or is going to be made publicly available to search. So everything except for the videos will be in that system. And the videos will still be hosted with this center. So those will be available if we have anything that before 2010. That'll be on request, but everything, assuming our data migration goes well, everything from 2010 forward.
All right, I think we can move on.
All right, good question. Okay, we're going to be coming back to this website in a little bit, but now we're going to kind of jump into Legistar. So during this approver training, most, if not all of you, don't actually have any items currently assigned to you to review and approve. So it'll really be just more about watching up on the screen and kind of referencing that guide that was provided to you. So feel free to take notes on that guide. And the first thing we'll do is just talk about some basics of Legistar real quick. You get logged in, which I think all of you are currently. You're probably sitting on the home screen here. So the home screen is specific to you, the person that's logged in, and it's really a dashboard. So as you begin whether you're creating agenda items, looking at them, really just even touching them in any way, they're going to show up under recent files. And this list will continue to change. It'll fill up in the box. The older ones will be down below. The new ones will be up at the top. And again, it'll just, the old ones will drop off as new ones appear. So it's really just kind of a quick way for you to get to recent agenda items or files that you've been looking at or working on. And some of them you'll notice are gray. Some are kind of more the regular font color. And that has to do with whether or not you have editing permissions. So, you know, files, agenda items, you know, at some point they're going to get locked and staff aren't going to be able to access them unless you have very specific permissions. So once an agenda item, you know, has finished an approval process or things like that, they get locked and very few people can make edits to those. So that's why you might see a gray versus one that looks like a regular font here. Recent agendas, recent minutes. In the Legistar system, each of you belongs to a user group, and those user groups have very specific permissions in the system. And not everybody has the same permissions. Depends on your user group. So in my example here, I'm logged in as kind of a standard approver. And, you know, up here under recent agendas, it looks normal. Down here under recent minutes, it looks grayed out. That's because the user group I belong to, I'm completely locked out of the minutes module altogether. So I can't see any minutes, whether they're in draft status or published status. If I wanted published minutes, I'd just go to the website. But that might be a reason why something's gray versus something that looks white and regular here. All right. So if you are looking at agendas, or if I were to look at agendas, they would start listing here as well. So that's the recent areas. And then down below on the right, that's your queue, that's your approval queue. So all of these items are agenda items that are currently assigned to me to review and approve. So the good news, you don't have to go searching through the system. Just right off the home screen, you can see items that are currently awaiting your approval. A couple of other things on the left here. These are the modules. We got files, agendas, minutes, and search. So I can't even click here on minutes because it's grayed out, and that's fine. I don't have permissions. That's agendas I can click on. I'll probably rarely ever go in there. Files is really where everybody, approvers and all the coordinators and drafters, that's where you guys are going to probably spend all of your time. And we'll be looking at that module in great detail. There is a search module here. And this only searches through the legislation text. So really what's in that Microsoft Word template. So there are other fields in the files module, and this area doesn't search through those fields. So this is somewhat limited in the searching capabilities. And I generally recommend just going into the files module. So the files module, you can be very specific and come in here and search based on any field in the system or any combination of fields. And even these tabs have fields too, like the name field on the attachments tab, we'll talk about that. Details tab has an internal notes field and even some dropdowns. So going in the files module, you're initially in search mode, and I can use any field, any combination of fields, and the easy text search field to search the data. Difference here is I can search what's been published as well as what is still in draft and still going through approval review, approval workflows. So I'm searching everything here. The other difference that I mentioned before is doing a search in the files module in Legistar. Legistar doesn't search through the documents, through the supporting documents that are attached by staff. So that is one limitation here. All right, we'll circle back here in a minute. From the home screen, I'll take a little different approach than I did earlier. If everybody wants to follow along, please feel free to do so. From your home screen, go up to Tools, and under Tools, select Local Settings. We're going to be very specific in what we talk about here. For the sake of approvals, We're going to skip the personal settings tab here for the moment, and we're just going to jump straight to password. So you have a default password for Legistar. You would go here to change that default password. When you create your new password, just make sure it's at least 5 characters. Doesn't have to be a mix of upper, lower case or special characters or anything like that. If you change your password, just make sure to click save at the top left. All right, the other thing that's specific is out of office. So as approvers, you can come in here and you can turn off an out of office on or off. So clicking yes, it turn it on. No, it's off. And we've got some description over here. So not as sophisticated as Outlook, so I can't put in time frames or anything like that. The other thing to keep in mind about out of office is this does not impact anything that is currently assigned to you. This is only going to impact new agenda items that are assigned to you to review and approve. So if you have anything existing, you'll want to probably delegate that to somebody else in your absence. And I'll show you how to do that a bit later. If I turn it on, select yes, the first option, the first scary option is auto approve. So if I left it here, then every time a new item got assigned to me, the system would just approve it on my behalf and move it forward in the process.
We're highly recommending against that. We'd rather you delegate, which we'll show you how to do.
Yes, definitely. And then you can click on the dropdown and you can start typing in somebody's name or select someone from the dropdown. So the list that you see here is not necessarily every Legistar user. It's only users that have been identified by your core team and your Legistar administrators as approvers or potential approvers or potential alternates, potential backups, etc. So the takeaway here is not everybody in the list is all users. So if you don't see someone here that should be, go ahead and let your core team, your Legistar administrators there know, and they can mark them as a potential approver.
One thing to note is that's not department specific, so that's all approvers.
That is correct.
So, you know, if you type in Marcy, you'll want to make sure you have the right Marcy.
All right. Again, if you make a change, make sure to click save. If you've been following along, just make sure that no is selected and just to be safe, come up and click save. All right. So again, we got there from clicking home, going up to tools and selecting local settings. The other tab in there would be discussed during a draft or agenda creator session. All right, so now go ahead and you can minimize Legistar if you want, but go ahead and look up on the screen there and I'll kind of walk you through reviewing and approving items in Legistar. And it'll basically be kind of following along what I have created for you here. And kind of going through, I've got things in red like arrows, I've got some rectangles and boxes. I also have some red lines here. So I'm in the document. I'm just trying to point out the things that you really need to focus on. And then, of course, giving you some additional description through the process here. So let's go ahead and start from the home screen. I've got my approval queue down here at the bottom right. So I need to come down and just click on one of the items I want to take a look at. Was there a question?
No, we just have a pet.
What's that?
We just had a visitor. Michael's going to try to take care of it for us.
Okay, no problem. All right. Keep in mind here in the list, though, we have to click on some text. So we actually have a few people from this morning that didn't put a title in, but if I try to click over here, it's not going to open it up. I have to click on some text somewhere. So I'm going to go ahead and open up one of these, walk you through the process. All right, just kind of going through the document here, kind of working our way down to this area here. When you first click on a link, one of those links to get into one of these items, it's going to bring you to the approval tracking tab by default. And the reason is because it is the approval tracking tab that you eventually need to be in order to do your approver action, whether you're approving it, delegating it to somebody else, et cetera.
Can we go back just one step? I think the bug distracted everybody. So they want to know how to get here again.
All right. The bug. Gotcha. Okay, so from the home screen, you have your approval requests queue, and we just need to come down and just click on an item that we want to review and approve. Making sure I click on text brings me into that specific agenda item or file, and it brings me to the approval tracking tab by default. And again, the reason is because I need to ultimately be here in order to do my approval or my delegation or whatever I decide to do. So since we're here, we'll talk about this tab first, and then we'll kind of go through some of the other areas here. The grid, there are some additional columns on the right. So there is a scroll bar here. You can scroll over, take a look at the additional columns. So as each of you are going in the system and approving things or delegating things, that is documented, it is time stamped. And there's an area where you can put in some notes as an approver, and I'll show you that in a bit. If you put in notes, then the notes column will say yes. So it's kind of like a flag. Yes, there are notes. No, there aren't any notes. The escalation date. So in a little bit, we will talk about the escalation process. If that occurs, then it basically timestamps when the escalation took place. So at any time, anybody can come in here, whether you have editing capabilities or not, and you could, you know, they could come in, you could come in and see where it's at in the process. Looking at the grid, one important thing to note is the action type. So we have approvers and we have FYI. So approvers, they're going to be required to come in and do some type of task, whether it's approving it or delegating it, et cetera. If we see something that says FYI, when that person is reached in the sequence, it's just going to send, it's going to immediately send an email to that person, giving them some information about the item, and then it's going to move on to the next person. So FYI, they're not required to do anything, and they can't come in and do anything. They won't have editing capabilities or the ability to approve, delegate, etc. All right, due days. So by default, I think most everyone is going to have 2 business days. So these are business days. It recognizes the weekends, does not recognize holidays. Something to keep in mind. So what happens if the due days pass? So currently assigned to me, Granicus approver, and I've got my due date is July 29th, so 2 business days out, basically. So at the end of the 29th, if I don't do anything, the system will escalate. And when the system escalates, it looks into your specific people record in Legistar Administration to see if you have a permanently assigned alternate backup, alternate approver. This is separate from the out-of-office. The out-of-office, you do. The permanently assigned alternate approver is something that your Legistar administrators will set in the back end. You can only have 1 alternate approver assigned to you. So when the due days arrives, if it passes, if it expires, then it looks in your people record, looks to see if you have an alternate approver assigned. And if you do, then the system will automatically reassign it to your backup, to your alternate. Then you will no longer be able to go in and make edits or do any type of action. It will now be assigned to them, and they will receive an email letting them know that they have an item to review and approve. The originator, the creator of the item, in this case, Melissa, she would also get an email letting her know that it escalated and got reassigned to whoever your backup is. So she would be kept in the loop as well. If there is no alternate approver assigned to you, I think most of you will have one, but if not, then the system escalation does nothing. It's got no one to reassign it to. So it just stays assigned to you, and you get a daily reminder letting you know you have an item to review and approve. It also lets Melissa know that you don't have an alternate either. All right, so that is the escalation process as far as the due days basically expiring. There is another escalation process in the system, and this is a manual one. So Melissa would actually have access to this escalate button. So it's currently grayed out for me because I'm an approver. I don't have the ability to click that, but Melissa would as the coordinator or the staff person who created this item. So she can go in here anytime prior to the 7/29 date and click the button. So if Melissa knows that I'm out suddenly or something like that, and we don't want to wait till the 29th, she can come in here, click escalate, and then it behaves the same way as if the due days pass. Looks in my people record. If I have an alternate person assigned, then the system will automatically reassign it to that person. If I don't have an alternate assigned, then same thing as the due date, clicking escalate will do nothing. It'll stay assigned to me and I will continue to get reminder emails. All right, so that is escalation based on due days and based on the button that the originator can click. All right, so enough chit chat about the approval tracking tab. Let's talk about kind of the meat of the agenda item here. So as the approver, while it's currently assigned to you, you have editing capabilities to a variety of fields in this file. Not every field, but of the same fields that basically Melissa had that she could edit. You're only going to have editing capabilities while it's assigned to you. So if it escalates and gets reassigned, or if you come in and you approve it or delegate it to somebody else, then you no longer can come in and make edits or anything like that. So you only have editing capabilities while it's assigned to you. So in the user guide I sent you, I've got some rectangles around type. So type is what Melissa would fill in, but you can change it if necessary. The agenda date is something that Melissa would put in, but you can change it as well. You have editing capabilities to that field. In control, you would have editing capabilities to as well. Now the title field though, we don't want you to make edits directly to the title field. The title is tied to all kinds of different reports. It's tied to the published agenda. And there's a very specific way we need to change that text or that data. And it's the same way that Melissa entered it to begin with. So she didn't type directly in here. She entered the title information along with some of this other stuff through the edit button on the agenda report tab. So please just make special note, do not modify the text in the title field directly. We would want to edit it through the edit button on the agenda report tab. So if we come here, I've kind of got the red line here and kind of specifying the edit field here. Still on that one there. Now, here's, during the earlier session, we kind of talked about, who makes edits to the content of this agenda item, who makes edits to the agenda report, things like that, internal discussions you may have. But I think ultimately it was more or less going to be Melissa or whoever the originator was, more often would be the person making modifications. If that's the case, then you would, email her, give her a call, ask her to make edits. If it's you, then you can click the edit button here and open up this Microsoft Word template. So in the system, Legistar is actually communicating with Microsoft Word, and your core team and your administrators have a variety of different templates that they've loaded in the Legistar system for you to use. So currently you're going through your deployment process. You haven't gone live yet. So the core team, Legistar administrators are still working on a variety of things in the system, everything from permissions to templates. So right now there's a certain amount of templates in the system available to you, and there may be more in the future. But this is what the BCC template looks like, at least currently. So if you were to make changes instead of Melissa as an example, you could come in here and make changes. And what I'll do is I'll just put a period at the end of these brackets here, hit a space bar, just make some type of change. And once I do that, then I need to exit out and save my changes. I don't want to go to File and Save As. What I want to do is, one way is to come up here to this little save icon, kind of the old school save, and click Save there. And then I can just immediately come over here and click X to exit out of the Word document. Once I do that, at the bottom right corner of my screen, which is actually on my other monitor that you can't see, there's a rectangular blue box there. And it's just kind of a status box letting you know that Legistar and Microsoft Word are still communicating with each other. You may see this pop up. If you make changes to the recommendation, which is basically what's in the title box, you're going to get a pop-up that says, do you want to replace the title? It's really just bringing it to your attention, just making sure you want to change ultimately what's in the title box, because again, that's an important field. Shows up on the published agenda, gets pulled in on numerous reports in the system. So making changes to the title within that in that document there, Melissa's going to get an email letting her know that the title was changed. She's not going to know what was changed though. Something to keep in mind. A notification goes out that something was changed, but it's not evident what was changed. The system doesn't really identify that. And even if I look in this window here, which is a view-only window into that Word document, it really didn't highlight the fact that I added the period. So one thing you guys can do if you decide to do this from a process perspective is you could enable track changes in the Word document itself. If you did that, then of course those track changes would be visible here in the window. Please keep in mind though that the window, some of the formatting, like in this example, Marcy's name is outside of this box here. The way you see it in the window here is really not the formatting and how it displays on the reports. It's really just a way to see the content. All right. And again, on my user guide, I have a line through the rest of this stuff here. So really, it's just all about the edit button if you want to take a look at the Word document or if you want to make edits. All right, so this is definitely a place you'll go to spend some time reading through the information. So before I move on to the other tabs, any questions about the upper fields or agenda report?
No.
All right. Attachments. These are going to be the supporting documents, the attachments that Melissa or originator, staff person, coordinators loaded into the system. You have the ability to edit these, delete these, rename them, load in new ones, replace ones that are already here. So let me kind of walk through a few of these. If you select something in the grid, you can come over here, you can rename it by changing the wording over here and clicking Update Attachment Details. You can change the order. So if we want the staff report to be first and these following, I could select staff report and use the arrows to move them.
On that, staff report should always be first. That's the actual agenda item that the PDF with the template. So you'll always want to make sure the staff report is first.
All right, so it was good I moved it as an example. Okay, other things we can do, we can come down here and click remove. So if I select this revised calendar document and click remove, it is going to bring up a pop-up, and this is good, just confirming that you want to delete it. So if I click yes, it'll delete it out of the Legistar database permanently. It doesn't delete the document that Melissa pulled in from the network or her computer, it's just deleting it out of Legistar. There is also a replace feature. So if we needed to make edits to any of these documents, you make edits to the documents out, the one that resides outside of Legistar, I can basically load that updated one in and overwrite what's here. So I can select it in the grid, I can click replace, you basically navigate to wherever that updated document is, select it and click open, and then it'll just load it in and replace it. The good news is it doesn't change the name, so it actually keeps the name. Now, if it needed to be revised and you didn't want to do replace, you could click remove and delete it, and then you could go through the process of clicking attach down here and then navigating to wherever the updated document is, click open, and then it would load in a completely new document altogether. I believe, based on earlier discussions, that most of the time it might be the coordinator or the originator making edits and things like that, but you guys may be making edits or actually loading in completely new documents. So you do have the ability to do all that.
On that note, you are putting a new attachment in. It needs to be in PDF form. So if you're going to do any new attachments, we prefer them to be in PDF form.
Definitely. To take a look at the contents of the staff report or any of these other documents, you can do it one of two ways. I can select it in the grid and come down and click launch, or I can just come up and double click it. That will open up the document. Now you can load in Microsoft Word, Excel, PowerPoint, images, other formats, but again, the recommendation is to load in PDFs. Now, just so that you're aware, if you have Adobe Standard or Pro, you could actually edit this document directly. And if you do that and acknowledge the save here, the change, you are going to get a message that says, do you want to save it back directly into Legistar? So it's another way of basically replacing what's here. All right. So I do talk a little bit about that in the guide that I provided you guys. Got some details up here about the attachments and using the arrows, replace, remove, all that kind of stuff. Any questions on the attachments, the supporting documents?
It doesn't look like we have any questions.
Okay. I know the afternoons are sometimes rough, so hopefully everybody's still awake. Maybe hopefully you had some caffeine or chocolate during lunch. Okay, details tab. I got a little bit about that here in the document as well. This tab here, pretty straightforward. There's an internal notes field here, so your coordinators, your originators, maybe putting some internal notes in here. You as approvers, you have your own area to put in notes, which is within the approval tracking tab. Other people cannot put notes in there. So your coordinators, originators would have to use a field like this if they wanted to put some notes in the system. You do have editing capabilities, so you could put some notes here as well, but definitely don't want you to put any notes there. So here we're going to see the department, the employee's email, things like that. You can modify a few of these, but most of this will be filled in by staff if applicable. And then just to point out last edit, so every file, every agenda item has an audit log. So it has user IDs and basically what that person did. So if you come in here and take a look at this, the only way to get out of it is to go up to the top right and click close. There are a few field or a few screens in the Legistar system where you have to click a close button at the top right, and that's one. So that's details. You may not even go to the tab. Any questions on that one?
No.
All right, moving right along. Minutes history, just talk about this briefly. Everything is documented in the file, in the agenda item. So when this goes on to the BCC and the minutes are taken, and the minutes are, I should say, documented in Legistar, they will show up here. So if this item was referred back and forth between governing bodies, every time minutes was done at a meeting, you'd have a separate line here for all the minutes history. So one-stop shop for all the information. You guys don't have editing rights or anything in here. It would just be strictly looking at the information. All right, back to approval tracking. So approval tracking tab actually has three sub-tabs. When we first got here, we were on the manage approver tab. So it's basically just showing us information based on who I have selected in the grid. Same thing I can see in the grid itself. Approver action is where I need to go as an approver to do my action. Now, if I click on approver action and everything is grayed out, that is probably because you don't have your name selected in the grid. So you have to make sure you're selected before you have access to the buttons. All right, let's just briefly pull up this document. So now we're kind of at step two, gonna talk through things you can do here. First, we'll talk about approve. Approve, pretty straightforward. You approve of the item, you click approve, it moves on to the next person. If you want to put in a note before you approve it, you can do so by typing in the note field. The note field's important in that you want to type in your notes before you select your action. Because once you select your action, you will be done, finished, and you will not be able to have editing capabilities anymore. So if I click approve and forget to put in a note, there's no way I can come back in here and put it in. The notes sometimes go out to staff, previous approvers, Melissa, whoever the originator is, and sometimes they don't. So as an example, if I type in a note and click approve, approve is one of the actions that does not trigger an email. So an email will not go out to Melissa or any previous approvers containing your note. They would have to come in here and actually click on your name to see your note. Now, if you delegate to someone else, or on extreme rare occasions, if never, disapprove it, and we'll talk about that in a few minutes, these two do trigger an email, and whatever notes you put in here before you select those actions, an email will be sent. It'll be sent to Melissa, whoever the originator is, and it will also be sent to any previous approvers who've been involved up to that point. Whether they're FYI or approver, either one, they'll all be notified. But remember, again, you'll want to put your note in before you select your actions. All right. So in the document, I have a few examples. This is the approve one. The next one I have is the disapprove. Let's talk about that after I talk about delegating. There's a reason why here, and you'll find out here in a few. But delegating, this one you might use more often. You can delegate. Common reasons to delegate: one would be you want to delegate your approval step to somebody else. So of course you would want to type in a note, you know, Steve, you know, please review and approve or something like that. So if I wanted to delegate it to someone, I could type in a note, come down to the delegate dropdown, and I could start typing in the person's name or click on the list. And this list, same premise as the out-of-office list. It's not every Legistar user. It's only Legistar users that have been identified as approvers or potential approvers, et cetera. All right. Now, if I ask Steve to review and approve, once I delegate it, I no longer have editing capabilities to this. And if Steve doesn't delegate it back to me, I'm never going to have a chance to do anything else to it. So if I delegate it to Steve to approve, then he will be approving it and I will no longer be involved. Another common feature, another common reason people delegate is to kind of document that people have taken a look at it and to document notes that they may have. So I could say, Steve, please review and delegate, I should say, please review, add notes, and delegate back. So if I do this an example, it's good because I'm letting Steve know what I want him to do. And then I could come down here and select Steve. Once I select a name, it's going to bring a pop-up. Once I click yes, it's off. So I did happen to delegate it to myself. So I still had editing capabilities, but I wanted to show you that it documents that I delegated it. It says an action of delegate, and then it also timestamps it. Now, when I delegate, Steve gets an email letting him know you have an item to review and approve. Steve also gets an email with the notes in it. And then Melissa also got an email as well, letting her know that I delegated it to somebody else. So now at this point, if Steve was to delegate it back, then he would, you know, Steve would come in, you know, put in the notes, again, note before action, and then Steve could come down, you know, and select me again and delegate it back to me. And there we go. So again, delegating sometimes is used to kind of pass it back and forth, you know, get some notes documented in the system, you know, but ultimately coming back to me to do my approval. So before we talk about disapprove, you guys have any questions about approving or delegating?
No questions at this time.
Okay. Extend due date, that's been kind of disabled. So core team administrators didn't want you guys to extend your own due dates. So that'll be grayed out. So the only other option is disapprove. And in the document that I created for you, I've got some information about disapproving. Based on previous discussion, you guys probably will not be disapproving. And if you do, it'll be rare circumstances. And the reason is because when you disapprove, it winds up canceling the approval sequence. When you disapprove, it requires you to put in a note. So of course, you'll want to be very descriptive on why. But what happens is the approval sequence gets canceled and the approval status, or the status, gets set back to draft. Melissa gets an email letting her know that you disapproved it. All of the other approvers involved up to that point, whether FYI or approvers, they also get notified that you disapproved it, and they will see the notes as well in their email. But the issue there is that now Melissa has to make your changes, load the approval sequence all over again, and it's got to go back through everybody once again. So based on earlier discussions, and Mike and team can chime in, but I think disapprove was something that you were rarely, if ever, going to do.
So reason being is that there's not enough time for you to have Melissa start the whole process over again to get that agenda approved, because it restarts the workflow so everybody gets 2 days again. So if you're the final reviewer and you disapprove it, then you give everybody 2 days to reapprove it, and it will go through the workflow in time to get on the agenda. So the recommendation is to just let the coordinator know, these are the changes that we would like done, or send an email to everybody, these are the changes that we'd like done, so that it just doesn't start that whole process over again. So that's what we're recommending at this time. And that can be an internal process between you and your coordinator of how you want to go about that. Do you have anything to elaborate on that?
We just want to avoid disapproving so we don't have to try to go through it. Because it is, unlike SIRE, it is a manual process to restart it and get it going again. So
the coordinator would have to manually start the whole process over again. It wouldn't just go back and say, you need to reapprove, something's changed. It would start it all over again.
But if it goes to the, if let's say the GM says to the coordinator, we need to make these changes, then that person would go in, make changes, and re-upload it?
Yes.
Because it would switch out the document, replace it in there.
Uh-huh.
So he would, in essence, do nothing until the coordinator uploaded the new revised.
Right. So if you wanted to say to your coordinator, fix this before I approve it, mm-hmm. they fix it, then you can go in and approve it, and you wouldn't have to start the whole process over. All right, I think we can move on.
Okay. All right. That is basically reviewing and approving in Legistar. So next we're going to talk about reviewing and approving through the website. And this will be a shorter conversation, but this will be step 5 in the guide. And what I'm about to talk about is outlined in the document as well. So let's bring up the website here. So again, none of you have anything currently assigned to you. So if you signed in, there wouldn't be anything there. But there's two ways to get to the website. First is you can just put in the URL, the direct URL. The other is when something is assigned to you, you get an email letting you know you have something that's assigned to you to review and approve. And in the email, there are hyperlinks. And clicking on those hyperlinks will take you to the website and take you to the sign-in screen. So please keep in mind, again, this is your Legistar username and password. So I showed you where you can reset your password. And if you do, just please remember to write it down. So once you sign in as an approver, it will take you to an approval tracking tab. Running a little slow. There we go. Approval tracking, and it'll show you all of the items currently assigned to you, pretty much just like the home screen in Legistar. So from here, if it's just a formality, if you know what it is, it's good to go. You know, from here, I could just click approve and I'm done. I can move on to the next one. Again, we talked about disapprove, rarely going to occur, but the same concept with notes, though. You want to put in your note and then select your action. And if you disapprove, the system will require you to put something in the note field. If you want to take a look at the details of this agenda item further, you can click on the file ID hyperlink. That will bring you into the details of that specific agenda item. So right away, we can tell that we can't edit as many fields on the website as we can in Legistar. So I can still see file ID, you know, the governing body. I can still see the file type and the agenda date. So I can still see the data. But unlike here, I can't actually go up and change the data. So there are limitations to the website. There's the title. That's the recommendation that your coordinators or staff are filling in that Word document. If you want to see the entire contents of your agenda report, that template, then on the website, I click the download Word document link. That will open up a Microsoft Word document. This is not the template. So if I make changes to this document, it does not save back into Legistar. There is no add-ins tab up here, no access to the templates or anything. So if you're opening it, it's just really to view the data, view the information, view whatever the staff person put into the template. And we have a little statement here that says changes made to the Word doc will not automatically update in Legistar. So we recommend making changes in Legistar directly. So that would be, again, you or, you know, clicking on edit, opening up the Word template, etc. Go ahead and disregard the select button here. That was in the past our way of taking the Word document after you saved it onto the local device and trying to load it in and replace what's in Legistar. That has not worked. Okay. Attachments. If we click the X next to one of these documents, it will in fact delete the attachment out of Legistar. And by the way, these are not the same items, just so you know. That has three attachments and this has two. So X will delete it out of Legistar. You can also load brand new attachments into Legistar through the website by clicking the select button next to the Add New Attachments field. So this would literally allow you to upload a document and load it into Legistar. I still recommend doing it through Legistar instead of through the web here, but the feature is here for you. If I want to take a look at the documents, I can click View. View will open up the document. And then Edit. This doesn't allow me to edit the document. If I click Edit, it only allows me to actually edit the name of the document. So modifying that would be the same as if I selected it in the grid and changed the name here and clicked Update Attachment Details. So it's just updating the name. All right, moving along. Here's our notes field. So that's the same as if I was on the Approval Tracking tab. Approver Action tab, note field here, same thing, note field here. Same process. We want to put in our notes before we select our action. We've got our action drop down here. Even though extend due date is clickable here, that has been disabled for you guys in Legistar. So go ahead and disregard that. It would really just be approve, delegate, and then rare circumstances disapprove. Delegate here on the website, we would select the action. Once we selected delegate as an action, it would then activate the delegate to field where I could select a person. Again, same concept here. This is only staff who are identified as approvers or potential approvers in the system. Submit, that's your save button. So I could come in here, Looks good. Select approve. I still need to click submit. A couple of other things. View sequence. This is a nice feature. I can see the approval sequence through the website. I can't see all the columns, but I can see a lot of them. But at least I can see where it's been, where it's going. And then another nice feature is send email. If I click on this, it will actually populate the drafter, the coordinator, the creator, originator's email address. If you wanted to, you could CC some people by typing that in. Type in a message, click send. So if you wanted changes made and you didn't really have access to your work or county email, you could use this as a way to communicate. All right, I can click submit, and that's approving the item. So one thing I wanted to point out too, if I click on a link and I get into an item here, notice that all those sub tabs went away, like that approval tracking tab. There is a go back here, but the tabs do disappear if I drill down here. Also, if I click on one of these other tabs to kind of take a look or do some things, the sub tabs disappear as well. So in order to get that approval tracking tab back, especially if you're out here, just go up to the top right and click on My Account. And that will bring us back to the approval tracking tab. Because you're Legistar users, you can disregard this other stuff here. The stuff here is really for the public use. All right. Everybody's been awfully quiet, but that is going through and reviewing and approving via the website. At the end of this document, I have just a little bit on searching in the files module. So, any questions? Any questions on the website, approving in Legistar?
No, it doesn't look like anybody has questions.
All right. Well, that's all I've got. Mike or Darlene, Monica, anybody have anything to add?
I don't think so. Mike, do you have anything to add?
Other than we just need to try to get it through one.
When you get back to your desk, we want to make sure that you have the Legistar icon, and we'd like you all to sign in and make sure that you can sign in so that when you do start the parallel, you'll be able to test. We're supposed to go live in September, and we're going to do some parallel agendas in August, where we'll be entering the both systems. So that's about all the information that you'll need to know from us for now. We'll send out emails to let you know when that is, and we'll get you updated guides. I don't know if you remember seeing the email. I had included both guides. There's one that Michael created that goes into a little bit more detail of the Clark process. This one's more of a kind of overview. And he'll be updating that to give you a final.
If you have any suggestions or ideas for it, please let us know.
Yeah, as you're going through it, if you see something missing or something's unclear, you can either email me or you can email Michael. But anything you send to me, if you're not sure who to send it to, send everything to me and I'll get it to whoever needs it.
It is important we do try to get through the sequence workflow so the items do get to the agenda ready state in the through the sequence. That is so that we can lessen some of the work that the agenda admin has to do when it comes time to for the agenda to completely be closed for new items for most users to be editing items. I know with the shorter schedule, we do have the new cutoff at 10 a.m. instead instead of the new cutoff. The idea is that we might give you from 10 to noon to get through the sequence if you can, or at least finish up your items. Because once you get an item in, you continue to work on it. But you just can't add another item once the agenda closes. So it's basically kind of important for the workflow to get through so that really work that the admin has to do on the back end so that no one goes in after it's been posted and changes the title or the monetary values when they shouldn't have been changed or something. So because whoever has it in their workflow can modify it. So
yeah, and in regards to the escalation and the backup, I know you've sent out an email originally asking like who was involved or whatever the case may be, but in the case of my director, on occasion, she swamped that morning, and sometimes when we get to it, I'm going to just bypass her. So do I let you know who would be next in line?
Yes, and we have the original Excel spreadsheet of the approver sequence.
Okay.
I can send that out to you of what we have for your department. And then we just need updates. I know a lot of people are taking advantage of the retirement. So as we get closer to being ready to go live, we're going to send you a list and say, does this need to be changed?
You need an additional one because you have some help in train or.
Right.
For most departments, we'll have someone in that department, a coordinator, be the final step to go in and add the final first copy of the agenda item staff report as the first item listed in the attachment. So if you've got a couple different people entering items or that you want to do it, I believe it was UFC was already wanting two different sequences, and I saw that from the beginning. We wanted to keep it to one for each department, but the reality is that one for each department might not actually functionally work. So
so you just need to let us know what your sequence would be.
There's some steps like finance and purchasing and the VA where those have to be in there, so we can.
Oh, no, that's fine. I could go and see what the sequence is now. Yeah, if she has to go up to a commissioner meeting, I can't think of a new cutoff.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's another nice thing about being able to approve on the Insight page, is that if they are away from their desk and they need to access it, they can.
Yeah, I think a lot of the approvers, especially department heads and such, will probably more likely than not use the website for their approval because they don't have to load up the program. Deal with the program, so.
And that's just more for convenience, right? There's not really any better.
Right.
I mean, if you have to modify something, you're probably better off with the program itself. But if you're just reviewing, you need to make sure, yep, it's good.
Okay.
And having the link in your email makes it easy. Just go to your email, the link's there, click on it, approve, you're done.
As long as you know you're signed in. Which we'll make sure everyone does, and approvers will have sign-ins.
So I don't, just to make sure I'm clear, because when my GM wants to kick back items to the coordinator, he had an option through Sire, and it would kick back. But now with this new system, we're saying,
with the new
system, it's approved, just let the coordinator know and make the changes.
Get a hold of the coordinator to have them make the changes, confirm they're correct, and they're good.
Okay, run that, because that will be a change for them.
Right, and that's a better option than the disapprove, just because with the disapprove, it'll start everything all over.
Right. And especially with the shorter time frame we have to get stuff done, the fact that disapproved, you have to go through the whole workflow again. It's a manual process after it's disapproved to restart it again and just. It doesn't loop through like it does Sire.
Do some agencies have more people that goes through them? Because I'm thinking to us, and it just goes to the coordinator and then to the GM. But other agencies, do they have more people through the workflow? Is that one?
Right now, we have the in Sire, we have the person that enters it approve it, and then the department coordinator approve it for that group, and then the your manager for your area approve it again. So basically, we're skipping, because most people, we found out that most people in most departments are the entering and the approver for those first two steps. So there's no point in it doing that twice, but if your department needs those kinds of steps, we can customize the workflow, the steps for it. Or if you need a couple other people to look at it, it's just the other member, those extra steps or some time to get into the workflow.
I just think we're just usually the coordinator and then the GM, and then it gets kicked down to the county level.
Yeah.
I think like for us, we have to go to our VA and ask for finance to make sure our funds are there, and then it goes up to the
yeah,
so you guys have an extra fund for me.
Yeah. So
and then you can add FYI people as well. And the FYI people don't have to approve it.
It just shoots them an email that they can go. They would have to go into the application to look at it, but it lets them know that, hey, there's an item here that you might need to look at.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions?
Concerns, worries?
So if you think of anything when you get back to the office, shoot me an email. I'll get it to whoever I need to get it to, or I'll find out the answer for you. We really appreciate you coming in person. I know that's hard for a lot of you, so thank you for all coming.
I know not everyone's part of the main county network. We do have VA or no one looks at the different groups. Yeah, so have your IT get a hold of me for the install if you don't have it on your system. Basically, is what it comes down to.
And then my password on the onset is just password. Like we get here.
Your yeah. Default will be password, and then you can go into your local settings and change your password once you get logged in.
Default password unless you change it on your
training will be an office
This is the only training that we're gonna be having. But our testing, yes, will be in August. We're gonna try to do a parallel in August. I don't have a date yet as to which meeting we're going to do that with, but that's our anticipated goal. And that's all we have today. And unless there's anything else, then we can send you home 8 minutes early.